Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy, and guess what? It's just me behind the mic today because I want to talk about resilient relationships and how you can get out of dysfunctional relating. I found it extremely helpful in any relationship to approach the relationship from a connection and security point of view. When we're concerned about whether the next part of our conversation will end in disconnection, our security is threatened. So we want to protect ourselves and the relationship. Whenever we have a conflict or need a request to change, there are ways in which you can work through conflict and request someone to make a change or request that within yourself that meets your need to feel safe and secure. But the thing is we're not taught these skills. And so we're basically relational illiterates. I have been introduced to Melanie Joy. She's written 5 books, and one of them, well, all of them are profound in their own way, but she's got a book called Getting Relationships Right, How to Build Resiliency and Thrive in Life, Love, and Work. I'm going to bring our conversation to you in June. She's just amazing. I just want to give you a little background. She's a Harvard-educated psychologist. She's an award-winning author of 5 books and an international speaker, trainer, and organizational coach. She's been featured by media outlets around the world, including the New York Times, the BBC, and ABC Australia. And you can learn more about her at melaniejoy.com. And I wanted to bring some of the content. I've been using it with clients and in my personal relationships, and it's just really phenomenal work. And so I have put together a number of years ago a PDF file of the list of universal human needs. I've been working since 2019 in the labs talking about and in individual mentoring sessions of, you know, what needs do we have and are they universal? And so if they're universal, that means we don't need to be negotiating on them. So in your work environment, in people that you're leading, you should not be feeling like you need to negotiate what your needs are. What you need to do is acknowledge them and honor them, and together you can meet each other's needs. So there's a lot to kind of sort out. And so I put together this PDF so that you could go through and identify what needs that you meet in different categories and how you feel about it. And when your needs aren't being met, what are the feelings that are associated with that? And it has totally been a game changer in people's understanding about what happens to them, you know, when your needs aren't being met. And we don't really talk about it that much. I don't know. We just need more education in relational literacy. And what is relational literacy? It's the ability to understand and express healthy ways of relating. And I quote Melanie Joy here, "Our errors are our teacher. They are guides that point us toward greater proficiency." We have kind of a misconception when we're in relationships that they're like business agreements, that if you want to make a change, you need to negotiate it. But actually, this is part of our needs that we need to just recognize all relationships, change is inevitable. You know, things happen. Look at the pandemic. We all had to change. So our relationships are the same. They're never static. We've grown and changed in our relationships during this pandemic. Our choice then is not whether we change, but how we change. You know, if we know that everybody has these needs and that everybody has certain feelings that are triggered when these needs aren't met, we can have a deeper understanding and empathy for each other. So when we're open to change, we accept life rather than resist it. So I've talked many times, and is in the research too, of being in the middle and flowing in the river and not jumping up on the banks of chaos or rigidity, and not try to swim upstream. But really, what does being in the flow of life mean? So we are intentional, compassionate, and courageous in our actions is one way that you can be intentional in being kind of in the flow of the river. We can therefore rise toward our potential and toward the potential of each relationship that we're in. So before I talk a little bit about what our needs are, I would like to quote the end part of Melanie's book, Getting Relationships Right. She says that it's an accomplishment to have waded through so much information that she has in her book, and therefore to be helpful to appreciate that developing relational skills is a process that necessarily takes time and inevitably involves many missteps. It's like learning a new language. And indeed, it is a new language, the language of relationships. It's developing relational literacy. If you were learning a new language, you would expect to be proficient after reading a book, even if that book provided all the basics on communicating. You can't possibly remember everything you read, and your brain needs time to absorb all the new terms and concepts and to adapt to new ways of thinking and expressing. So you'd expect to continually revisit the material and practice it. Developing relational literacy is like learning a language. It's a lifelong process that's built on so-called mistakes. Our errors are our teachers. They are the guides that point us toward greater proficiency, greater awareness. And what matters most in this process is how we relate to our mistakes. So when we relate to our mistakes in a healthy way, that is with curiosity and compassion as a non-judgmental observer, we value them as gifts as they are and use them to enhance our growth. So make sure while you're learning these things that you're patient. And perfectionism is really a major obstacle in building relationship resilience. So remember that even a slight increase in your relational literacy can lead to significant improvements in your relationships. And know that as you undertake this journey, you are part of something greater than your individual self. Learning the language of relationships is ultimately learning to think and operate relationally rather than individualistically. This is a profound shift of consciousness that is fundamental to not only personal, but also social transformation. Imagine if this way of being were exposed by heads of state, institutional leaders, media figures, parents, teachers. Imagine if everyone were committed to and skilled in practicing integrity and honoring dignity. Imagine the quality of our lives and the character of our world. So take pride in yourself and your efforts, and thank you for tuning into this episode. Really appreciate that every step you take toward building relationship resiliency is a contribution to a better future for yourself and your own relationships and also for the world. Amen to Melanie Joy. Oh, God, that's so beautiful, isn't it? Oh, she just has a gift of really taking the complexities that we have, which is our relationships, and putting it in a context in which we can understand, but also in which we can relate and look at our relationships with each other in the greater picture. I think it's easier to say, you know, this is my contribution to the world today. Or my relating and being in good communication with this particular person is really, you know, making, I'm in the flow of life. I'm not resisting change. I'm trying to work within the constructs of the relationship to understand each other better. It's just much more freeing to be in relationship when people are in that space. So if there's 8 different domains of potential connection, there's 3 different degrees. So one is the breadth. So it's the number of connections that you have with people within the 8 domains is how you feel connected to them. And the second one is depth. You know, we all have like superficial relationships where, you know, we see each other, we say hi, or you know, connect on Facebook, or, you know, with a post, someone will post something and we'll write something, you know, that's just letting them know that we're reading their posts or looking at their pictures or videos or whatever they're sending out, to deep conversations that you have that really make a difference in the quality of the connection that we have with the person. And then the third is the strength of your emotional connection. And that's what we have the least amount of training in, is how to navigate, you know, our emotions within ourselves. And so I wanted to go over just quickly the 8 domains, because you will know them, but maybe you have not heard them put together in this way. So the connection exists kind of on a spectrum that has those 3 main factors to them: the breadth, the depth, and the strength of the emotional connection. So the first domain is the emotional domain that I just talked about. So it's the way in which you are connected and share. It's the way in which you deliver the truth to someone. It's in a close relationship where you share your hopes and your fears and your dreams, and also where you feel shame and your joys and sorrow, where you feel safe enough where you can be open and vulnerable. Well, the intellectual is just, you know, your ability to talk with people. Maybe you have something in common with them, like you both love sports or a particular sport, or maybe you're following the same team, you know, where you just feel, or maybe you're in the same field of study with someone and you just have an intellectual understanding of how that person thinks. And that can be, you know, a way in which you're connecting. Psychologically is where you have, like, maybe you have a similar style. It could be, you know, even like a personality type that's similar, where you understand how the person processes information, or, you know, they're overwhelmed in groups if you're more introverted, or if you're extroverted, that they're, you know, the process is, you know, with extroverts, you kind of know how they're feeling all the time because they tell you. So those are areas. Or you might have a shared sense of humor, or maybe you have an imagination, where you really find engaging. And you can notice this too, and if you've got children, you know, the different domains where you connect with each one of them differently. There's also the physical domain. You know, this is where we give each other hugs or kisses or hold hands or just connect with people in a physical way. It doesn't necessarily, it may not be sexual or romantic. It's just more of just a physical connection of how you greet each other even, and just a friendliness that you have. Another domain is the romantic domain, where there's a romantic connection. It may not be sexual or physical either. It's just someone that you really are endeared with, and there's a mutual attraction to each other. Another way, domain to connect. So we've gone through the emotional, which is 1, the intellectual 2, psychological 3, physical 4, romantic 5, the practical is 6. And that might be someone that you're sharing life with. So you may, you know, vacations together, or sharing, you know, meals together. It could be like roommates, you know, who are making meals together or coordinating things, outing events, that kind of thing. And then the 8th one is philosophical, where you have shared values and beliefs. You really connect on those level, and you might even have lots of discussions about what your values are and what your beliefs. They're very, very important in having an emotional connection with someone in a close relationship. And then there's a 9th domain, but this, some believe that there's a spiritual connection. But in what I've read so far about spiritual connections is there's kind of a fine line between giving up your power to, you know, like we're divinely placed here together and working out this connection. And I have felt this myself with people where I just feel like we're together for a certain period of time to learn some things. But the difference that she's making, Melanie's making, and other researchers in this domain is that the spiritual connection is not where you give your power away. You shouldn't feel victim in a relationship, a healthy relationship. You shouldn't feel like a victim. You should feel empowered to make decisions about changing the connection that you have with that person. So connection is the first way in which we kind of explore our connection with each other or relationships. And there's 8 different ways we are in relationship and potentially 9. And where relationships can deepen is through our sense of security and safety with each other and connecting with each other. Our level of integrity, like how we feel toward ourselves and how we feel toward the world, is congruent with how we're expressing ourselves. And then the third is what I'm talking about in depth today. Not that much in depth, but I have a PDF so that you can take this exercise and do it for yourself. It's addressing and honoring your needs. And it's hard to address them and honor them if you're not sure what they are. So one thing that matters the most in connections is an overarching meta connection, which is a sense of connection that is maintained throughout the life cycles. So we tend to feel more connected in relationships in which we can express more aspects of ourselves. Like, you know, sometimes if we're not agreeing on like political views, it doesn't mean we can't have a connection. It just might mean that the connection is the part of ourself is kind of not connecting with the other person in that way. And so, you know, you might feel like you're denying that part of yourself because you can't share it with that person. You know, people have those kinds of connections. It's just something to be aware of and to know and to make sure that you're not shrinking or hiding those parts, but you're just recognizing that those parts are part of you and that you're respecting the relationship. It's not something that you can deeply share. So the first part in creating a really connecting environment is to recognize that we have those needs. Just to give you, I just want to give an overview and then you can kind of take off and do the exercise yourself. There's 7 different categories of a list of human universal needs. And the list of universal human needs are from 3 sources. So I got them from the Center of Nonviolent Communication, and then Jean Liedtke and Tim Ogilvie's research on the Designing for Growth field book. It's about design thinking, how to be innovative what you're producing in the world. And it's a way in which you can collect information to understand people better. I'm using it as a way in which to understand ourselves better and how, you know, we're relating to every human being. And then who I just have been talking about, Dr. Melanie Joy's book on getting relationships right. So the 7 categories, and there's a lot underneath, but the main one is connection, and that's why I was talking about it. There's 8 different areas, but there's also like a lot of different ways that we you know, accept each other, affection. We want a sense of belonging. And in business, when we're anyone you're working with and clients as well, you want to make sure, and the end users that you're working connected with, that you're creating a sense of belonging. It doesn't need to be a deep connection with someone, but it does need to be a place in which they can feel like they can hang their hat or do business together with you, a sense that you can cooperate and communicate openly. The second one is physical well-being. So this is air, food. We need to have movement and exercise, rest and play, sexual fulfillment, or the ability to express ourselves sexually in the way that we feel is comfortable for us and okay with other people. Safety, shelter, touch, and water. You know, those are our physical well-being. feels okay when we have those needs met. Honesty, you know, having integrity and being authentic and present. That's really an important universal need. We all have them. Play, having joy and humor in your life is really critical. Peace, so has being circled with beauty, having a communion, a connection with people, and a sense of ease, a sense of equality. This is why it's so important that we're aware of where there's inequality, because it's a universal human need. Everyone has this need. So let's, you know, make sure that we all can live in a more equal place and create harmony, which is also part of our peace. We need to feel and inspiration and have order in our life. Like our life needs to kind of make sense. So that's the category, some of the components under the category of peace, which is the fifth list of universal human needs, or fifth category. The sixth one is autonomy. We need to have choice, freedom, independence, space, and spontaneity in our lives. And if we get too rigid or our lives get too chaotic, we need to come back to the peace part, which is order, which is why we get into meditation, because it helps us to order our sense of our thoughts and our mind and calm our lives. And then with autonomy, it's important to have some spontaneity so you're not getting too rigid in your life with your schedule. You need spontaneity to just create and be yourself and be with others in a way that's more fun. And then the last category is meaning. And there's a lot in this category. So the first part of meaning is awareness, and it's self-awareness. It's also being aware of others and what they need. It's the ability to celebrate your life and challenge and feel challenged. So also we strive for clarity. We want to be competent. We want to be conscientious of what's going on in our lives. We want to contribute. We want to use the creativity that we're born with and that we can build on. We want to discover things. We want to have efficacy and effectiveness in our lives. We want growth and hope and learning and mourning and participation and purpose and self-expression and stimulation. We want to matter, be valued and cherished and understood. So there's all of these things come up in our society with movements behind them, because our universal human needs are being disrupted or not met. The exercise is about you kind of circling or highlighting the needs that you meet on a regular basis and kind of getting in tune with what those are. And you can ask your family members as well to fill this out. You can also do this with people in your work environment. What are the needs at work that are being fulfilled, and what are the needs that aren't? And then what feelings show up? So the second part of the exercise is to take a look at when your needs are met on a regular basis. There's all kinds of feelings. There's 11 categories of feelings. And I'm going to read the 11 categories and not all the other feelings underneath it. But being affectionate, being engaged and absorbed in what you're learning, or just in life in general. You feel hopeful and confident, excited, grateful, inspired, joyful, exhilarated, peaceful, and refreshed. You know, you feel restored. You feel like you're revived. Those are the feelings that energize you to keep going. And the other feelings that we have that are universal human feelings, when your needs go unmet, there's 14 different categories. And underneath, there's a whole bunch of emotions along with that that are really disruptive in our life. We become severely afraid, annoyed, angry, aversion to things, like hating things, disgusting, contempt for other people. There's confused, there's disconnected, there's disquieted, or where you feel agitated or rattled, which we've all been feeling intensely, a restlessness, shock. There's embarrassed, there's fatigue, there's pain, there's sad, there's tense, where you can feel jittery a lot of the time, frazzled and irritable, and then vulnerable, we're emotionally exposed, We're uncertain about our future, and we're yearning. We could be envious or jealous, longing, pining, wistful. So when our needs go unmet for a long period of time, these feelings become very, very intense. It's important to know what they are, and you can take charge of your life more effectively if you can identify what you're experiencing and navigate your way through your feelings. So download the PDF and just get a little bit more in touch with yourself. And I wanted to bring that to you, especially today, this week, because I just feel strongly that we're moving out of the pandemic. I think it's a good time to kind of reassess our needs and figure out how to make sure that we're deliberately getting our needs met. So keep meeting your needs, keep addressing them, keep honoring them and all those who are in your life. And that is your relational literacy lesson for today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next week. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère de notre mère, brother from another mother. We'll see you all next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? You can. We know that dual innovation with mentoring works. We've mentored thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and small business owners in this dual innovation process since 1992. We are here to co-create a mentoring process where you can nourish resilient relationships while you redesign your business. Resilient relationships promote relational literacy, the ability to understand and express healthy ways of relating. Even a slight increase in relational literacy can lead to significant improvement in all of your relationships. So why not take the risk to move out of dysfunctional relating and move into ways to deepen your connection to yourself and others? Assert self-leadership. If you aren't already subscribed to this podcast, go do it now. Go to wementor.com and get the support and skills needed to build a purposeful life journey with your peers on the entrepreneurial leadership path, consciously co-creating our future. You can also join our virtual mentoring community for one-on-one strategic mentoring or participate in a WeMentor lab because we mentor meaningful conversations and activities that lead to higher levels of functionality and engagement in our world and everything that we do with each other. So engage your curiosity and become the leader you envision yourself to be today. WeMentor.com. Go there. Check it out.